No matter what everybody says, we are fearsome blue-eyes white dragons, because we're touched by a duelist. Hi, I'm Basil.
I'm Anna.
And we're married and we're watching anime on this whole new episode thing that we're trying out.
Yep.
So, for the longest time, Anna's been trying to get me to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! And I eventually said sure, but only if we do a podcast about it. So, we're watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And I wanted to watch one of my favorite shows of all time, the baseball anime Touch from the 80s. So we're watching them. One episode at a time, and we're recording about them on this podcast that you're listening to. I'm sorry. How are you, Anna?
Tired.
Yeah, it's been a long day. We were going to record this sooner, but we both started feeling not so hot, so we waited a couple of days. But we're here. We're doing it, right?
Yep.
Yes. So.
It's going to take me a minute to talk more, because I'm used to speaking behind the microphone, not in front of it.
Yes, you're usually our wonderful editor, and I'm the one that yammers a bunch. Now we both get to yammer a bunch.
Yeah, you picked a good topic for me to yammer about.
It's true, but which is Touch by Mitsuru Adachi, animated by Group TAC. So, Touch. It's based off a manga by Mitsuru Adachi. The manga was published in Weekly Shonen Sunday. He has a friendly rivalry with Mikio Takahashi, which I know you enjoy her works.
Yep.
In fact, apparently at some point in Weekly Shonen Sunday issue 43 in 2006, the authors were asked, if you could pick one pen name to use that was different than your own, which one would you pick? And Takahashi replied, Adachi Mitsuru. He's one of the few manga artists to write for Shonen, Shoujo, and Seinen and still be popular. It ran from 1981 to 1986 for 26 volumes. So we're talking about the first episode, which was No Matter What Everybody Says, We're Twins. What'd you think about it?
I liked it. It's definitely, you know, you got your love triangle going.
Who are?
Perfect twin, not perfect twin in the girl that they both like.
So
I know the girl's name is Minami. The perfect twin is
Kazuya,
and the other one is
Tatsuya.
I only know their nicknames: the Takchan and Kakchan. I can't say that.
So Kakchan, he is also the voice of Adekor, who is in Tales of Vesperia, is one of the knights of the Schwan Brigade, which would matter to Doug if he ever listened to this. He's also Andy Bogart in most of the Fatal Fury games. And Zoisite in the original Sailor Moon. Minami, depending on how you want to say it, right, wrong, I don't know which one actually is true, was a lot of kids would know her as Death Note as Near. Tobias would know her in Gunbuster as Noriko. You would know her from Inuyasha as Kikyo. Little Witch Academia as the Professor Ursula. And Ranma One-Half as Akane. And then Tatsuya was Johnny Five in Short Circuit, the Japanese dub, and he was also in Ranma as Tofu Sensei.
Which one was that?
He was the doctor that the Kasumi, the older sister, was who really
yeah,
enjoyed.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So, what happened in episode one?
Well, we find out that Perfect Twin is perfect. All the girls love him.
Mm-hmm.
His and Minami's parents want him and Minami to get married. And he's really good at baseball. And other twin is not good at much of anything.
Or does it feel like he has to be good at anything?
His brother is so perfect that he doesn't feel like he has to be anything.
It's true. Like, he almost feels like he's kind of the third wheel.
Yeah.
And you can see him constantly trying to encourage at least Minami. As, hey, I'm just a third wheel. Why do you keep bothering with me?
Yeah. And she obviously likes them both. Like, you know, every time he brings up, why aren't you with my brother? You know, you guys are going to get married. You know, why are you bothering with me? She's usually just like, shut up. I care about you.
So it's very much a setup episode. So they also show that they have their little building that's theirs, that's in between the two properties of the parents, because they got tired of the kids running around and screaming all the time, and they decided to shut them up in their own little room to terrorize.
Yep.
That has now turned into a legitimate study space. And they see him at school. We know Kat-chan is very good at the baseballs.
I do appreciate, from episode one, they do a very, I guess, a twin trope in that one twin impersonates the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't expect it in episode one, but I expected it at some point.
Right. Well, they also, because, I mean, this is a shonen manga and an anime from the 80s that ran for only 101 episodes. Unlike our other show, you know, they also get to sort of the inopportune fan service also in the very first episode with, you know, Minami, you know, undressing herself to, you know, try out her swimsuit and Tachan, you know, realizing, oh no, I was napping. Let me cough. All right, let me, before she gets to...
Like, I did appreciate, he was very cool about that whole situation, because she's like, you're such a pervert. He's like, no, if I was, I wouldn't have coughed and let you know that I was here. I would wait until you undressed. And then he leaves and does his, you know, teenage boy freak out over, oh my gosh, I almost saw her naked. But I was impressed with how cool he was about it at the time, like, in front of her.
So who's your favorite character so far?
Probably Tatsuya. There's obviously going to be a lot more development with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's the one we don't know anything about. We know the other guy is, you know, perceived as perfect. We know that their parents plan on him and Minami getting married. And, I mean, obviously there's going to be more to learn about them as well. But I feel like he has more development that I think
sure.
we can...
So who do you think she's going to marry?
Him. I don't think she'll marry the perfect one.
Well, another tidbit. The voice actor for the perfect one, I think actually a few years ago, actually came out as gay. Like, out of nowhere. And everyone was like, oh, snap. So.
Well, okay.
Which I thought was a neat little factoid I saw. And I've got more factoids. I want to save them for future episodes. Can't, you know, do it all up at the first go. But yeah, I mean, I've loved Touch for years now, and honestly, my real love Touch came afterwards, because I watched Cross Game, which was another show, manga/show that he did, which we'll probably get to eventually, because I gotta find some ways to match up your insane episode count. But I discovered, oh man, Cross Game was really, really good. I know that for a lot of folks, his magnum opus was still Touch, so I went and found it, which you can find online, there's ways. If y'all want to watch the show too, I highly recommend it. I deep dived. I think we might have still been started dating when I started really diving deep into Touch.
Possibly. Like, I remember you mentioning it.
Yeah. Because I was around the same time the Madoka Magica movie came out in theaters.
Yeah, that was within the first year of us starting to date.
Yeah, I think it's when I first started watching Touch. So for me, this is still, you know, somewhat, I guess, quote, somewhat recent for me, but it's good. It's real good. And I love how 80s it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I will say, like, I usually, with some anime, I watch the first episode and go, okay, I have to watch the second one. I'm going to make myself watch the second one. But this one, I did enjoy the first episode enough that I'm definitely looking forward to continuing it.
What'd you think of the opening? Which I know you, it's not fair, because unlike everything else, also, just for the record, this is her first time completely watching Touch. This is my first time completely watching Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yep.
I have never seen episode one of Yu-Gi-Oh! Until we watched it. The opening theme song, which is Touch by Yoshimi Iwasaki, is one of my favorite openings, like, especially musically of all time, period. I think it is, as the kids say, a total bop.
I did like it. I thought it was... Like you said, I thought it was really catchy. I've found myself humming it.
And what's kind of crazy is that a lot of the songs they haven't done yet, a lot of them that were playing in the background is also still sung by various people. I think some is actually, one's actually done by Tachan. But on Spotify, I found the same song done by Iwasaki, and she's... Todd Chan's not a great singer. But she is. It was so good. Although the music guy was... I'll say that for next episode, but I found him interesting. All right, so I guess we'll take another short break, and we're going to come back, because I think it's time to duel. All right, so now this is Anna's show. This is Yu-Gi-Oh! Based off the manga by Kazuki Takahashi. Different Takahashi. This manga was published in Weekly Shonen Jump. He started as a manga artist actually in 1982, so around the same time the actual manga of Touch was going on. He didn't really break out until 1996 when he made Yu-Gi-Oh! But he's a big fan of things like board games and tabletop games and Go and Shogi and all sorts of stuff. So it makes a lot of sense that a real thing about his interest, like games, would take off. And he was originally doing, like, the whole Yu-Gi-Oh! Thing was just supposed to be all the various games.
Yeah, like the first 7 volumes of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters only pops up in, like, 1 volume. Like, we've learned all about, like, different board games, dice games, you have card games, you have a tabletop game.
And it was called Magic, like, Duel Monsters was originally called, in the manga, was called Magic and Wizards, because it was inspired by Magic the Gathering, but it was so popular, they decided to make, like, an actual game, and next thing we know, the manga, and of course the anime, is all about the cards, which one card is even actually made after his pet Shiba Inu named Taro, and he actually personally drew the artwork for it, because it was called, the monster called Shiba Warrior Taro. So, yeah, so I'm actually, we're starting for just the Duel Monsters anime, the first season, but not there's all season 0 that covers the first few volumes of the manga.
Yeah, it follows the first 7 volumes of the manga, decently close, but Duel Monsters, it references a couple of things from it throughout the series, but not a whole lot. Like, I know they were, even in the first episode, there were a couple of things that Basil was like, wait, am I supposed to know this? And I said, no.
No, this anime just starts off and just starts running. Like, it's sprinting from the get-go. I thought I was watching the last episode of a season. Like, legit. Like, next thing I know, we've got Yami.
Yeah, like, Yami shows up, but Yami and Yugi don't realize they're two different people.
I'm still getting over names.
Oh.
Yugi.
Oh, Yugi.
It's like Yugi and...
Joey.
And Joey.
Jonouchi.
Oh, Jonouchi.
We're watching the Japanese version, even though most of what he knows is from the English version. Or abridged.
And, what's her name? Is Anne?
Anzu.
And they're just chilling out, and they're playing these cards, this card game. And they're just chilling, like, in school, just playing it on a desk. And I'm like, but I know there's supposed to be, like, crazy, like, attachments and monsters everywhere.
Dual disc.
And the dual disc thing. And they're just playing, like they're playing Magic the Gathering, like, after school, which I was like, oh, I used to do that when I was a child. Like, young boy, young shonen. Boy, I would have been addicted to this show when I was a kid. And next thing I know, this Kaiba guy's just like, huh. I don't know about these stupid kids, even though they're, like, in the same grade. They're in the same class.
Yep.
And there are, like, towers over them. And next thing you know, they're going to go see his grandpa. His grandpa owns a game store. And he's showing off his fancy car that he treasures called the Blue Eyes White Dragon. And Kaiba's like, oh, snap, I need that. Runs in, has a briefcase full of cards. Like, I'll trade you all these good cards. And grandpa's like, no. I love this. This is a cherished gift from a friend. I couldn't give this to you. This is not for sale. And he's like, well, I'm a rich guy. I'm going to take this if I want it. Next thing I know, hoodlums show up, and Yugi gets a call that his grandpa's about to die. And this and that. Next thing I know, they're they're going out to the top of Shinra Tower in Final Fantasy VII, and Kaiba's like, ha ha ha, I beat your dad in a duel and took his card. I don't even want this card. Rips it in twain.
No, it's not that he doesn't want the card. There are only four blue eyes in existence. He has acquired through means the other three. You can only have three of a card in your deck. So the fourth one could be used against him, and he can't let that happen, so he rips it up.
I love the idea of, well, there's only going to be four of these cards ever in existence. Ever. Because this is a trading card game sold in store, so there's only four of this one card ever.
Well, once you meet the creator of Duel Monsters, you'll understand that he's a little insane.
Anyway, so they apparently go into their AR alternate, you know, reality machine thing, because that's how Kaiba rolls, with actual, like, VR-ness, only it's AR because it's augmented, and it's in front of their, machines. They don't have these dual discs, but they're playing, like, everything, and they start playing their cards, and Yugi's like, oh, well, no, I guess it's now Yami, but they don't really explain that they switched over. Like, they don't explain anything in this first episode.
Well, that's because, well, yes, they don't, but Yugi and Yami are not aware that they're different people.
And so they're playing and this and that and explosions and cards and life counters are going down. Next thing we know, he's like, ah, but I have this, the super ultra omega ultimate rare card, which is called
Exodia.
And he summons Exodia and rips through all three of the blue eyes, white dragons. I guess they're not so fearsome anymore. I didn't realize. I knew that Blue Eyes White Dragon was the meme. I didn't quite realize that it was like episode one.
Yeah.
Like, was right there. And like, it feels like I was like, do-do-do-do-do, we're playing cards in school. Now we're at the top of this tower and we're playing and dragons are everywhere and all this. But people had to believe in Heart of Cards and hope to God their luck doesn't run out. And bah! And that's Yu-Gi-Oh! As far as I can tell.
Yeah. This episode, you're gonna learn as we keep going, not all of them are this compact.
Sure. I mean, it feels like if this is 224 episodes,
yep,
like, stuff's gonna have to start drying up. Man, this first episode just was like wallops. Like, I was like, whew! Like, I was missing the... In some ways, that was like, oh man, that was full of stuff happening. Meanwhile, like, I felt like Touch was sort of, you know, lazily going along, just doing its thing, which is fun. That's Adachi. It's what he does. Like, he's known for more the playful banter of dialogue, and this one is just, you know, smack you up the side with, like, collectible
card
games.
Well, we'll get
to
the playful dialogue during the 5-episode duels.
Okay. So, that was a little bit of Touch.
So what did you think of the first episode of Yu-Gi-Oh?
Well, it was fun. It was, like I said, it started off with a bang. I was just like, oh, wow, I was kind of expecting to be like, oh, hey, here are cards. These are what cards do. Like, you know, this is how you play this game. Like, no, they're like, no, let's have climactic final battle episode one. And I was like, okay, I bet this probably will slow down in a moment so they actually do what they're going to do. But I guess it also doesn't help that, like, for example, like, Yugi clearly has all these, you know, Jōinichi and Honda and Anzu. Like, there's these characters that are clearly already defined into it, which I assume is because you've met them in the manga previously. So yeah. Maybe, hopefully, we'll get some flashbacks. So I know what's going on with their deals. So, also, there's this, like, you know, whole Yugi-Yami thing that is in no way remotely, like, explained at all. Like, he's I'm talking like this now. Like, I was like, and it's almost not even that dramatic. Like, it's just like a slight different inflection that told me apparently this is somebody else. Or, well, I know because of Yu-Gi-Oh! Through the general cultural osmosis, that's what's going on, but I don't know if I would have figured it out watching episode one just the way they present it.
Yeah, you've probably been like, why did the puzzle glow? Why does he look different and sound different? Like, what's going on? So do you have a favorite character yet, even though you don't know a whole lot about any of them?
Well, clearly the Blue Eyes White Dragon is the coolest monster ever because it's got blue eyes and it's a white dragon. No, I have no idea who I like yet.
We'll get there.
All right, so there we go. Yes, a little bit of Touch, a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode ones. I don't think these episodes will be super long, because they're just, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about individual episodes. I mean, over time, it's going to be huge, because just 224 episodes and at least one movie.
Oh, no. We have, for Yu-Gi-Oh! At least, 224 episodes, two movies, a filler series. I think that's it.
So you're in for a lot of episodes and a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! And a decent amount of baseball anime, too. So with that, you can find us at The Awesome Cast, our podcast home for everything awesome, osmcast.com.
osmcast.com.
See, there we go. That's why you're around. Even though I'm the one that named this, made this, purchased the website, did all the things. That's why I have you around.
Because I can spell.
That's right. We'll see you next time.
はしゃいで写し